So what is it that you need to know about goodwill in order to pass the SBR exam? That was the question I was asked today by one of my students, Kieran, and I thought I would share with you my answer. My name is Tom Clendon, and I help students pass the SBR examination. So, what do you need to know about goodwill? It has three ingredients when you're calculating it: the investment, the NCI, the net assets. The investment is the parent's investment in order to buy the shares in the sub, sometimes known as the controlling interest. This must be recorded at fair value. All right? Fair value of the consideration that we've given, not we've given to stockbrokers or anything else like that. So transaction costs are not capitalized. Cash is not a problem. Shares issued have to be at fair value. Deferred consideration would have to be at fair value, so measure that at the present value of the future cash flow. Contingent consideration would also have to be recognized at fair value. We need to know the parent's investment in the sub at the date of acquisition at the fair value of consideration given. NCI. The non-controlling interest is a problem because there's an accounting policy decision that has to be made on an acquisition by acquisition basis as to how you measure the NCI. It can be as a proportion of net assets, or it can be at fair value, in other words, based on the share price of the subsidiary. If you measure NCI as a proportion of net assets, then the goodwill will only be attributable to the parent. And that has a knock-on effect that when you do an impairment loss on that goodwill, the impairment loss will not be charged to the NCI. By contrast, when NCI is measured at fair value, goodwill is in full. And because goodwill is in full, if that is subject to an impairment loss, the impairment loss will be split between the parent and the NCI in the proportions to which they share their profits and losses on a normal basis. Parents' investment plus the NCI is aggregated. If we deduct away from that the fair value of the net assets at the date of acquisition, if we're left with a positive number, then this is a premium. Yeah, we've paid a premium. So this is an intangible asset. That's how we treat it. Now, the fair value of the net assets at the date of acquisition may have to be ascertained. If we're adjusting it and we're increasing the fair value of the net assets, that will effectively reduce goodwill as a balancing figure, because the more net assets that you have, the less goodwill arises. If you make a fair value adjustment that is positive on the net assets, strictly speaking, that creates a deferred tax liability, because strictly speaking, you're increasing the carrying value of the asset, but not the tax base. So there's no current tax arising. So not only do you have a fair value adjustment, but strictly speaking, you also have a second fair value adjustment to recognize a deferred tax liability. You can also have fair value adjustments which are creating assets and liabilities that the individual subsidiary hasn't even recognized. For example, brands. For example, customer lists. ISA 38 prohibits the individual company from recognizing these as intangible assets. But if they have a fair value, they can be recognized on consolidation as separable assets, as identifiable assets, all right? And they will be recognized in the group account, not at the individual company stage. The same is true of contingent liabilities. If you have a subsidiary with a contingent liability, say a 30% chance it's going to have to pay some money out, that wouldn't be recognized under ISA 37 as a liability. But if it has a fair value, you would be recognizing it in the group accounts as part of the net assets as a consolidation adjustment. If you've got positive goodwill, it will be subject to an annual impairment review as part of a cash generating unit. We know that goodwill, by its definition, can't be separated, so it can't be sold, nor does it generate any cash on its own. So any impairment review of goodwill is always done at the level of a cash generating unit. In other words, the smallest collection of net assets that together generates an independent stream of income. In other words, the subsidiary's net assets and goodwill together will be tested for an impairment loss, and that impairment loss, first of all, allocated to the goodwill. If by chance you've got negative goodwill, if by chance the aggregate of the parent's investment and the NCI is smaller than the fair value of the net assets that you've acquired, happy days. This is a bargain. You've bought the assets at a discount, and providing you can double check those numbers to make sure the fair values are correct, you have a profit that you recognise. What else do I want to say? Several quick things. If it's a step acquisition, then make sure the first investment, the original investment, is revalued to fair value, and that gain goes to P&L. So there'll be two investments as the parent's investment. They both must be at fair value at the date of acquisition. If it's a foreign sub, then that goodwill has to be calculated in the local currency at the date of acquisition. And each year it's retranslated, and that exchange difference goes directly to equity. And it will be split with the NCI if NCIs be measured at fair value. If you've got a control-to-control transaction, goodwill doesn't change. If you are disposing of a subsidiary, then that is when you are de-recognising goodwill. But you can never revalue goodwill. What else do you need to know? When the fair value of the net assets are originally arrived at the date of acquisition, they can be provisional. So technically, it is possible to revise them and therefore revise the figure of goodwill. But that revision of the original fair value of the net assets at the date of acquisition has to be done within 12 months. And those changes have to specifically relate to estimates at the date of acquisition. I love goodwill. You've listened to this podcast. Fantastic. Yeah, you've got to do some exercises and calculations alongside remembering and being able to apply this theory. My name is Tom Clendon, and I help students pass SBR. Thank you for listening to my podcast all about goodwill.